You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. The Minor Talk podcast channel is back. Before we get started and before we get out to our interviews, checking in with UTEP head coach Joe Golding and men's basketball players David Terrell Jr. and Otis Frazier III, I just want to take a moment to thank all our listeners here on Minor Talk. What a season, you know, we really had. I mean, if you think about this athletic season for 2023-2024 for UTEP football, UTEP men's basketball, and all the other sports in between, what a year. I mean, you could call it a roller coaster ride. You could talk about the peaks and valleys, you know, most notably in football season. It was a change of command. It was from Dana Dimmel over to Scotty Walden. And for UTEP men's basketball, there were a lot of low points during the regular season, but the highs were probably as high as we've ever seen from this UTEP basketball team during the stretch that we've done Minor Talk, at least. And that was reflective of their Conference USA Tournament Championship run. They went all the way to the title game, lost to Western Kentucky, but an unprecedented run by this UTEP men's basketball team that really stirred a lot of momentum for this group here going into the offseason. They retain almost all their players going into next year, and they added two pieces. We're going to talk a lot of different things with UTEP head coach Joe Golding and, of course, the players that we just mentioned. Great insights throughout this episode, and I'm just really excited for everybody to tune in to this one right here. It's been a while since we've talked a little UTEP hoops, and it's nice to talk to all of you know, our listeners about this right here. Hey, throughout the season, we had some excellent supporting sponsors here on Minor Talk. I want to give a big shout out to Wind Supply El Paso, Timothy Cantrell for joining us throughout the basketball season, New Start Homes for joining us throughout the football year as well, and all our great sponsors and partners throughout the season. A special thanks to the District Pub and Kitchen West right by the university for hosting us for Minor Talk watch parties, for pregame celebrations, for tailgates, and you name it. We had so much fun interacting with listeners for the first time ever here on this show, and you know, we're hoping to do that here in the upcoming fall again out at the district as well. Stay tuned. The district's going to be doing some really, really cool things here coming up with us on Sports Talk and on Minor Talk. And of course, the presenting sponsor of Minor Talk, the Oscar Arrieta Agency. Hey, I love the Oscar Arrieta Agency. They are my insurance when it comes to home insurance. They help out when it comes to auto insurance as well. You could bundle and save with the Oscar Arrieta Agency. And they're even doing a referral program right now for all Minor Talk listeners. All you have to do is put in basic information at OscarArriettaAgency.com, and you'll be entered to win weekly prizes like currently their Chihuahuas VIP tickets that they're giving away weekly. Check out their Instagram page, Oscar Arrieta Agency. You could see all the winners that are announced weekly. Maybe you could be one of those winners as well. Very easy to do so. If you haven't been to a game yet, maybe you can go. Thanks to the Oscar Arrieta Agency. Visit OscarArriettaAgency.com. Now let's get out to our first interview. This one will be with Joe Golding here on the Minor Talk podcast. All right, we're back here with UTEP men's basketball head coach Joe Golding, continuing on the Minor Talk podcast. Coach, what a run. I mean, I can't tell you how crazy the Minor Talk shows were during the Conference USA Championship, during the run itself that was really unprecedented. And, you know, I really think it was a month ago, really, or 2 months ago where this all happened in March. But 3 months ago, you won the first road game of the season at Jacksonville State. And I think, you know, after talking to some of your players and everything, maybe that was the turning point right there where the belief was there. Mm-hmm. I'd take it back even further from the double overtime loss to Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And you were adamant. You said something along the lines of, I hope this team gets to reap the benefits of all the work that they put in. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the year, it kind of was that. Mm-hmm. Playing for a Conference USA championship, what more could you ask for at that point, right?
Yeah, I think you summed it all up right there. You know, we just, you know, I think every season there's a pivotal point, right, where your season can kind of go either way. And sometimes there's two or three of those. And you're always looking for that opportunity when your team kind of takes off. And, you know, early we had the win at Cal, which I kind of thought, man, okay, here we go. And then to be quite honest, it was bad scheduling on my part after Bradley. We shouldn't have stayed and probably played Loyola Marymount. You know, we were there for almost a week and a half. It was a long time. And we got them coming off, you know, two losses in a tournament. They were hungry. And so we never really gained any momentum from that Cal win. Now it's good for us. Loyola Marymount has to return the game here this year. But, you know, we couldn't game. And then I thought the Sun Bowl, you know, I, we had a bad stretch right there where obviously we lost to Corpus and Abilene Christian, but then we turned it and we were able to beat Wyoming in the championship game and win the Sun Bowl for the first time in a while. And I thought, okay, here we kind of go. But then the timing of that was Christmas break. And, you know, we got back here and we had to go to New Mexico State and obviously lose that game and then went and lost a tough one to FIU on the road. And so never gained any momentum from that. And then it just kind of spiraled for us on the road. You know, and if you look at all of college basketball, not making excuses, it was just tough to win on the road last year for everybody across the board. And our league was no different, you know, just and four of our first six were on the road, you know. And so we just never could game, but I always knew and always believed that this team was heading in the right direction. It was just, again, to your point, the belief of getting them to believe. And to do that, you have to have a pivotal point in the season where you gain momentum and you gain belief. And so it happened, obviously, in that Jacksonville State. We have the four bad losses. Not bad losses, but we go to Western and lose. We go to Middle and lose a double overtime game. We had the ball to win in regulation and the ball to win in overtime, and we don't get it done. And then we come back here and play two of the best teams in league play in La Tech and Sam. And we lose two close games where they were right there but don't go our way at home. And so you're on a four-game losing streak, and now your season can go the other way. And credit to this group, credit to the leadership of those guys. They just continue to work. They continue to bring it. And we go to Jacksonville State and kind of out of nowhere win the game, you know. And then that carries over to Liberty, and I think we gave them the worst home loss that they've had in a long, long time. And you beat a really good Liberty team at home on their floor in front of a sold-out crowd. And I think from that point, this team took off, and that was the moment. You know, then we came back here. We had FIU here at home, so then you won three in a row, and then now we were getting some momentum and going into the conference tournament. I think we had just as much belief as anybody.
And there was a lot of adversity that hit this season. Yeah. I mean, you can even look at guys on the, like, role players, like Derek Hamilton. You know, he had tough points this season, but then he becomes a significant contributor during this down the line in the stretch. Or even guys like David Terrell Jr., who has to grow up and make some big, fearless shots in the conference tournament.
Yeah, that's the hard thing too about the portal, and not to switch the subject, but you go through growing pains with freshmen. That is just going to happen, right? I mean, freshmen are there's a reason they're freshmen, and there's a reason that everybody's trying to stay old right now in college basketball. It's hard to win when you're playing a ton of freshmen, but you go through it. The hard part is when you go through it, and then when they're ready, sometimes you don't have them. We're fortunate that David's coming back and being a part of our program. Not only him, but Trey Horton and Elijah, three freshmen that grew last year on their own little journey, right? But we'll reap the benefits of the experience they got as freshmen, of them coming back as sophomores. But yeah, I thought Derek, to your point, Derek worked his butt off, lost a ton of weight, and then obviously was just in and out of the rotation for whatever reason. We were struggling offensively. We struggled offensively all year, and we just couldn't let teams get away from us. And defensively, you know, we were better going small ball sometimes with Calvin at the five, and then obviously Kevin is elite defender at that position, and just kind of made the decision to go that way. But as we struggled, continue to struggle to score, we gave Derek the opportunity. In the Jacksonville State was really where it took off. He got the opportunity at the Middle Tennessee game before that and played well here against La Tech and Sam, and then went to Jacksonville State. We call it the Michael Jordan flu game, the Derek Hamilton flu game, where he threw up all day. He was throwing up during the game, but he gave us some great minutes, and we were able to win that game, and it kind of took off for him. And obviously, you know, I think he gained a ton of confidence over the last month of the season, and I think we'll see the benefits of that as we get going into next year as well.
I was looking at your record. I think you're like 5-3 over the last 4 years in the conference tournaments. And I was talking to David Terrell, and you don't talk about yourself enough. You're a very humble person, but I think it should be said that whenever you play a Joe Golding program in the conference tournament, it's a tough match. Like, you guys should be viewed as the tough exit whenever it comes to a conference tournament. I mean, one and done game, you throw the kitchen sink out there. You're confident enough in your staff's preparation in these, but that's why, like, now moving forward, I think you've set the precedent. Like, you don't want to be messed with in the conference tournament.
No, I appreciate you saying that, but you know, it's hard. This one-bid leagues are hard, Adrian. We we can talk all we want about being a two-bid league, but right now, the way our league's built, it's in the way this business is going in college athletics, you know, it's a one-bid league right now. And it's difficult, man, because you have to – it doesn't really matter what you do. It does. January, it all comes down to 3 days in March, you know, in our league. And you want your team to play its best basketball at that point in time. And, you know, you want to be going in. And I think we've always done a good job of getting our guys to play at a high level during that time. And obviously, I was 2-0 in championship games. That was my first time to lose one. It wasn't any fun. I can tell you that, to see the confetti go down, to see them celebrating. It was a long night, you know, for us, because we truly believed that we were going to win that basketball game, you know. And we're going to fight like crazy for the, you know, for the next 10 months, for the last 10 minutes and 33 seconds. You know, that's, we had a, it was a tie game with 10 minutes and 33 seconds to go, and Western beat us. And so everything we do will be about those 10 minutes and 33 seconds moving forward, whether that's in recruiting, whether that's in player development, whether that's in strength and conditioning, whether that's in practice, whether that's in non-conference play, and everything is preparing us next year for that moment. And, you know, the great thing about being in that moment, it is the experience you get. You know, I go back to my first ACU team when we made the NCAA tournament. We played Kentucky, and honestly, we were just there for the steak and the lobster and the police chauffeurs and all that. I mean, we our eyes were so big that, you know, we were just in awe of the moment. But then you take it, we also had the COVID year, and then the next year we make the NCAA tournament, and a lot of those guys were back that made the first NCAA tournament, and the second time through, we weren't there for the steak and lobster and the police escort and all that stuff, right? We were there to win a basketball game. And so I think the experience that our guys gained in this tournament and having so many guys back is really going to benefit us next year as we get to March.
Yeah, I really like the answer. And going back to the first game of the conference tournament, I think the big thought was, well, just get the first one.
Yeah.
And you've always, always had that mentality. Yeah, yeah. You've always had that mentality. Yeah. It's always the first one. It's never about anything else. But Liberty was an opponent. It was the rubber match game right there.
Yeah, it was bad scheduling, to be honest, right? Like, because, you know, you're right. We always say, and it sounds, you know, in theory, okay, well, no doubt, you have to win the first or you're out. But if you win the first, then you gain momentum, and then sometimes it's how you win the first game, right? And so Liberty was, there couldn't have been a worse team for us to play, because we'd just gone to their home floor and beat them about as bad as they'd been beaten in a long time. And they got obviously a terrific basketball team. Coach McKay does a terrific job, and that locker room, they've had success in March as well, although a different league, you know, that locker room had success. And so and then I think the way we won, they obviously, you know, took the lead. It was back and forth for a long time, and then they took the lead, and then we were able to close in the second half, the last, you know, probably 6, 7, 8 minutes, and we're able to get the win. And I think obviously springboarded us to the Sam game. That was a tough turnaround. You know, when you have 9 teams, it becomes difficult to, how do you build a bracket and a tournament. And I mean, there was so much discussion. In fact, we go to Destin again this weekend. I don't know if we keep the, I don't know if we're keeping the bracket the same way, if there'll be changes. We're obviously adding Kennesaw State in, so there will be a change, you know, in how we do it. But, you know, we played the 6 o'clock game or whatever it was, you know, we don't get back till 10. We have to turn around, and we have an 11 o'clock start, you know. So I don't know if people know behind the scenes how that works, but we basically got back to the hotel, and our guys ate pregame, they showered up, and then we immediately went to film and we worked film on Sam Houston State, and then did a quick walkthrough of just some things that we wanted them to keep in their head before they went to bed. Then you have to wake up at 7:30, you have to eat breakfast, you have to get your treatments, and then you have to turn around and do another walkthrough in a hotel ballroom with tape on, and then, you know, get to the arena an hour and a half before and play a Sam team that's had a day of rest. Now, they deserve that day of rest, right? But of what they've done in conference play, that's the reward. But it's a quick, tough turnaround, you know? And so just really proud of the grit and toughness that our guys displayed. At that point in time, it's not about pretty basketball. It's about finding a way to, you know, to get a win. And obviously our guys showed a tremendous amount of grit in the second half.
Yeah, and that Sam Houston State game, you know, here in El Paso is funny, because the first game, I thought, yeah, people were into it, but I felt like no one worked during that Sam Houston used to stay game. Everybody had a 3-hour
break. And I loved it, man.
Break.
And I had that little, you know, press clip afterwards, but I loved it. And we didn't say no, because you're so busy during that time. But people were, you know, as you're in the moments, you're watching tape, and you take 5 minutes away to breathe or to walk around or catch your breath or catch a 5-minute nap real quick. But people would show highlights or videos, or our guys could see the restaurants and the establishments here in town, and everybody getting together and everybody wearing their minor stuff. And like you said, your minor talks at the district and the crowds. And it wasn't just at the district. district. It was all over town, the east side, the west side. And I think people, for the first time in a long time, took a lot of pride in wearing UTEP, you know, gear. And, you know, that obviously made me happy. It made our staff happy. And I think it obviously was motivating our players, because, and I think they got to see too, Adrian, that what the what minor basketball can be, right? The support that's here. And the, you know, this is one of the most historic programs in the country. It's got an incredible fan base that cares about basketball. They care about winning. They know what good basketball looks like. They take care of their players. They support their players. You know, and I think they've heard all those stories, and they've seen it from time to time, you know, whether it be the New Mexico State, you know, the crowd or whatever. But to see that, even though we weren't here to feel it, you could feel it, right? You could see it and you could feel the energy. And I think that's something that I know we all appreciated.
Yeah, I think UTEP was trending after the game all over social media. Yeah. And the crazy thing is the 23-4 run. I mean, that's what it was, you know, predicated off of. And I think that's what really awoke everybody.
And we really did it twice, right? The Liberty game and the Sam game. You know, obviously the Western game, we went on a run a little bit early. Mm-hmm. We went on about the 14-minute mark to the 10-minute mark, and I think we got up 7. And McHenry hit a really, really, really tough step-back three on Calvin, late shot clock, that really changed the momentum of the game. If he misses that, you know, and we go down and we get something in transition, who knows what happens. But that's basketball and that's life. But I do think it's a credit to you know, the things that we've worked on, just the toughness, the grit, obviously defensively being able to get stops, and then the confidence that our guys had in each other and the belief that we had at that point in time. And you could see it coming. You know, we kind of had this saying that we started before the Jacksonville State that everybody loves a comeback story. And I don't know if Otis and David mentioned, they probably already forgot about it. But, you know, I said, listen, you can listen to all the outside narrative out there that's whatever. But everybody, at the end of the day, everybody loves a comeback story. You know, whether it's a Major League Baseball playoffs when these teams down 3-0 or 2-1 or 3-1 and they come back and win game 7, and same thing in the NBA. You know, everybody loves that, you know, and I said, we have the opportunity to do that, but we have to go write that script. We have to make that story happen. And that was kind of our motto. And we beat Jacksonville State, Liberty, and then behind the scenes, that was our, and I remember those timeouts at like 10 minutes, you know, in the second half of Sam and the Liberty game, and even in the Western, you know, the verbiage was, everybody loves a comeback story, right? And that's what kind of was the motivational little thing that we had going behind the scenes. And credit to our guys for writing the script and making that happen.
Yeah, the Sam Houston State game, you know, it's so interesting because Chris Mudge, you have a lot of respect for a coach that you really appreciate. Mm-hmm. You won Coach of the Year in Conference USA, and they had the best record in you know, at one point in Conference USA, and Sam Houston State finished off regular season champions. Yeah. But I go back to the point, I'd rather be playing for a Conference USA title than playing, you know, in the regular season.
No question. I mean, you want to win the regular season. I mean, trust, we all do. I mean, that's the objective and goal. But and it also gives you a little bit of reward, you know, in the conference tournament, you know, to give you the best chance to make the NCAA, and you want to protect your top seeds. That's the whole gist of the bracket, is how do you protect guys, because there has to be some type of reward for winning the conference tournament. But we're a one bid league. I mean, I hate to say, you know, I mean, but it comes down to 3 days in March, and it comes down to playing your best basketball at that point in time. And sometimes the best team over 2 months doesn't win, and that's what makes this level so difficult, and people don't understand how hard it is to get to the, you know, NCAA tournament. It's just it's extremely difficult to do at this level, because there's really good teams, there's great coaches, and there's so much fluidity now in the game, the way it's changed. You know, it's I remember having a conversation with Coach Jans 2 years ago when he took the Mississippi State job, and he was like, man, I can't wait, you know, to get to that level, because even if you finish 7th or 8th, you can make the NCAA tournament. You know, here he would win the, you know, let's say he won the WAC or finish 2nd to Grand, whatever. But he had to go win, and there's so much pressure when you are the favorite, right? There's almost, you know, to go win. So it's just it's an interesting dynamic. It's, in case you've lived it every day at this level, it's just hard to deal with. But yeah, you know, back to the Sam, I've got a ton of respect for Mudge. They returned a ton. They have a program that has won. You and I talked before the season, along with other, I think our new teams didn't necessarily have the name value coming off, especially the year our league had with Florida Atlantic making the Final Four, and was it UAB in North Texas and the NIT, Charlotte. When, like, the name recognition wasn't the same for Jacksonville State and Liberty and Sam and New Mexico State, but what have those four teams done over the last decade? I mean, New Mexico State ran through the WAC the last decade. Sam Houston State had a ton of success in the Southland and the WAC. Jason Hooten did a tremendous job there building that program. Ray Harper is one of the best coaches in college basketball and does a tremendous job. And then you have Liberty, who had a ton of success in the A-Sun. So, you know, we added some really, really, really good basketball teams to this league. They might be not necessarily have the name value, but really good teams, good programs, and good coaches.
Well, so now, since you opened up that can of worms real quick, how difficult was or different was the travel this year, right?
It was brutal.
Yeah, I bet.
And it's not going to get any easier, yeah, right? I mean, we obviously had Kennesaw State, which that's not bad. I think I've heard that's Atlanta, right? Yeah. Somewhere in there. But the following year now, you're going to add Springfield, Missouri, which I don't know if you checked, but that's not the easiest place, I don't think, to get to. I don't know if Phoenix.
Don't
can
forget
we do,
Delaware.
Do we go, and then Delaware. Who knows? Maybe you have a Missouri State Delaware swings. But you know what? That's conference realignment today, right? That's just the way it is. And I think Conference USA is doing a great job of trying to you know, keep this conference afloat. When we lost those teams, well, obviously Missouri State's got a ton of history in basketball. Their football program with Petrino was gotten better. I don't know what they did this year. I don't know if Petrino left, but I think they're moving in the right direction with football. But obviously their basketball is historic. It has a great tradition. I played in that arena when I was at Little Rock, and it's a beautiful arena, and they really support their team. And then obviously Delaware is I don't know a ton about Delaware, but you look at their athletic programs in general, they've had a ton of success, right? And then obviously we're out in Kennesaw State, who 2 years ago made the tournament, you know, not last year, but the year before. So, again, I think Judy's doing a great job, along with our presidents and ADs, of keeping this conference afloat and keeping teams. I think we'll, by 2 years, we'll be back at 12 teams. So we've stabilized it, right? And now who knows? who knows right. In 6 months what that looks like, right? I have no idea. I'm not smart enough to be in those conversations. I find out when you find out. But I do think it's a great league. I do think it's a great basketball league. And, I have a ton of respect for it.
So when we're talking about going back to the conference tournament, Huntsville, Alabama, how you embrace the everybody loves a comeback story role, but no one in the crowd was embracing that role. They were all
wearing
red.
That was what was frustrating to me, right? I have no control over that, right? And I'm sure it was frustrating for other teams when it was in Frisco, but I just kept thinking the whole day of the game, if this thing was in Frisco, man, we would have, I don't know, man, who knows? I don't even put a number, you know?
Right. But a lot of people jumping in their cars.
There would have been a ton of UTEP, you know? Yeah. The 2 years we played in it, there was a ton of UTEP fans, you know, in Frisco. And so I know making a run like that, it would have been flipped, right? They would have had their 25 or 30, and we'd have had our 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000, maybe even more than that with the fan base that we have. And so it wasn't our fan base's fault. I don't blame them one bit. You know, I mean, it's an impossible plane flight to get to. It's not easy. It's expensive. It's just hard to get to, you know, for us here. And so, driving to the bus, we talked about it all day, man. It was going to be a road game. Let's made the right plea the night before, you know, in the press conference, and fired their fan base up and challenged them that they didn't have a good enough crowd, the night before in the semifinal, and there was no excuse for them being an hour away to not be there, and they responded to him, you know, and that's obviously program has a ton of tradition. I mean, think about this, Adrian. Well, if we played the conference tournament in Las Cruces, how many UTEP fans, you know, we'd have sold that sucker out. That's our fan base, and their fan base showed up. I remember. You know, the bus ride over to the game, you know, there were some streets that you got to turn into all around the arena, and you have to take a circle to get in the back, and it was all Western, you know. I mean, just everywhere you looked was just a sea of red. And it was kind of our story, right? Though we struggled to win on the road all year, but we had got hot on the road late that gave us the opportunity to gain the momentum to be there, and we said, what a way to end this thing, right? We've struggled. It was a true road game, you know. I mean, we literally, counting my wife and kids and, you know, our AD, and then we had about you know, a couple parents, families there. And then we had, you know, three or four or five, you know, just UTEP fans that, you know, maybe 25 total there. So it was definitely a Western Kentucky pro crowd. But, you know, hey, that's just the way it is, man.
You like the idea of the finality of this season, right? Like, you know, your first year here, you explored some postseason opportunities. But to have the finality of the season and just to end this way and also realize that, hey, there's a lot of guys who can return and bring it back for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I want to be careful how I say this, but like, because I don't want to come up, like, our job here is to win, get to the NCAA tournament. You know, that's if you're the head coach at UTEP, that's the goal and that's the objective. I would say the next thing is to compete for conference championships and regular season play. You know, and then the third thing is to build this program back up to where it needs to be. So when I sit back and look, okay, 3 years in, you know, we won 20 the first year. We got off to a great start. You know, I still go back and replay that all the time. The possession with Middle Tennessee, you know, we foul on the blob. He hits one of two. The plan was to get Sule the ball. It didn't work out. You know, Keontae takes the shot. It doesn't go in. We lose in overtime. But if we win that game, we make it to the, you know, we're right there year one. But obviously frustrated, you know, felt like we should have won that game and got to the semis and made a run. The second year was just very disappointing. You know, I think we took a step back, and you can make any excuse, which is we don't, but just things to talk about. You had the transfer portal for the first time happening. You had NIL, which we didn't have set up. There was just a lot of things going on in college athletics, and we lost our entire team, basically, you know, and really, really good team, you know, and everybody that year brought everybody back, you know, Florida Atlantic brought everybody back, just UAB, Jelly Walk, you get my drift on it, and we just struggled, and it wasn't like we were getting our butt kicked that second year when you go back and look at it, we just weren't good enough, you know, those teams were just better, but we were in those games, we just, and then we go to the conference tournament, and we obviously get off to a good start against Western, then blow it and lose round one, so just not a good season. And I think that ruined a lot of the momentum that we gained, Adrian, in year one, you know, and it was kind of gave people a bad, you know, okay, here we go. We're going right back to the way it used to be. And then I look at last year and say, you know what? I think we made strides again. You know, we turned this thing. It's hard to turn programs, you know, and I think we turned this thing around. We won 18 games. So you look, we won 20 and we've won 18, you know, on two back end years. We obviously made it to the conference tournament finals for the first time in, you would know the date. I don't know. Was it 2009, 11 or something? It's been a long, long time. Yeah, I missed it. Should have picked the middle. So it's been a long time, but we gained a ton of momentum on that. We won the Sun Bowl tournament for the first time. We beat Cal on a national television, played Bradley in the championship game and on two national televised games, two really good games. So there was some positives, right? The negatives, you know, and things that we just got to get better at is we got to learn to win on the road. We did that year one, and I don't know why, you know what, you dissect it, we're in that deep dive right now, you know, with it. I think it helps having players back, to your point. I know it does from the continuity standpoint in a day in athletics where there is no continuity, you know, that's going to help us tremendously having 9 scholarship guys back. But there's at the end of the day, like I remind them before they left for the summer, we were 7-9 in conference play, you know, because we couldn't win on the road and we lost the two big home games here to Sam and La Tech. So that's got to change, right? That's got to get better. And I understand that. I know that. But I do think we're headed in the right direction. I think this, you know, to bring 9 guys back, that says a lot about our culture. It says a lot about these guys' drive. It says a lot about these guys wanting to play for UTEP, play for our fans, you know, and what we have going here. It says a lot about the collective that we are starting to get going. Obviously, our campus has announced a new collective. We have our separate one off campus, so now we have 2 opportunities that we can continue to help our guys. And I think it's starting to get stabilized, I think, would be, you know, if that makes sense. For the first time since I've been here, I feel like this program is finally stabilized, you know? I mean, year one was great. I love those, but I knew those guys were leaving, you know? And then year two, we obviously went through it, and now we got through it, and we were able to make a little run here at the end, and we've stabilized our program. We're bringing some players back, and I think our program's in good shape.
It's not just the continuity, but it's also the experience,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
that you
yeah.
bring back. And yeah. that's yeah. so rare yeah. in college basketball. I mean, to our listeners, to understand this, average teams lose 3 to 4 players to the
right.
portal.
Right.
You didn't lose anybody.
Right. And we're going to have that happen,
yeah.
right? It's
yeah.
like it's not like, okay, what did coach do to keep this group?
Right.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and say it's I kept this. I would have liked to keep Sule's group. I tried the hell to keep that group together. But what you have is a group that our culture is really, really good right now. You have a group that likes each other. And you have a group that's hungry. They tasted it and they didn't finish it off, you know. And so they all wanted to stick together, come back. And I think it's unique. I think it's awesome. I didn't really have to fight them, you know, to come back or beg and, you know, and. Again, our collective is going to do a good job of rewarding some of these guys for staying in our program for year two. Or you look at Otis, who's going to be here 3 years. You look at Kevin, who's been here 4 years. That's going to pay off, you know, to your point. And, you know, there is going to be a year, obviously, you know, I don't know when, but, you know, we could lose 6 or 7, you know, it's just the way it's the way it is right now. But I do think it's unique. I think it's awesome. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm fired up about it. Our spring was great. There was a different, obviously, energy around from being making the run that we had, and guys are motivated to get better. But, you know, I think to your point, I think you hit on the head. There's experience in college basketball. Right, like the college basketball has gotten older because of the COVID year, but there's not experience together, you know. And I think sometimes back to that point about winning on the road, I think that has a lot to do with why people are struggling to win on the road across college athletics. It's because, you know, when you build teams through 3 or 4 years, you've been through it all. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
you know, and now you're trying to build these teams from a summer to a fall, and then you go on the road and you face adversity and things, and you're still trying to build your team all the way through really January, you know, when you get to conference, you're still trying to build it and you don't know what your team is and they haven't been through this stuff. And so to your point, I think we're going to have experience, but we're also going to have experience together, you know, that we've been through those moments, and I think that's going to be critical.
Yeah, they always say, like, go on a road trip and you really understand who your friends are and,
right,
like,
right.
what your friends are actually
right,
like, you
right,
know?
Right.
It's true, like, if you're
right.
going on a road right. trip with these guys right. who you've only met and acclimated with 4 months, 3 months, it's tough, but
yeah.
now you've got those years that are stacked up. These guys are more familiar with each other, which is better.
Right.
Now, the guys that you're bringing in, which is really interesting, too, mm-hmm. KJ Thomas, Ahmad Bynum, mm-hmm. Devin Barnes, I mean, these are three guys who could help be impact players or at least contributors in year one.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we obviously lost Tay and Z and Calvin and John. And so we weren't good offensively last year. And so we knew we had to get better anyways, right? Well, where do we have to get better? I mean, the most glaring thing obviously is the 3-point line, right? It's something that we've got to get, we had to address it and we had to get better. We have to shoot the basketball better. And I think we've done that. You know, all three of those guys shoot the ball, 38%, 39%, right in there from the 3-point line on a ton of attempts. They all three can create plays for other guys. So I think all three of those guys will help us offensively. Then you think of the returners. Trey Horton's obviously an elite shooter. You've got Corey Camper, who's going to make a jump and shoot the basketball better for us. Baylor is obviously going to shoot the ball better. And David and help me out. David
you're
and
on, is all right,
you know, in court. Yeah, but my point is, I think on paper now we fixed it. Now we got to go do it, right? We got to go make shots. But I think we've corrected that and fixed that. And so I'm excited about that. The second thing offensively was taking care of the basketball and value in the basketball. A lot of that goes with experience, right? Playing together. A lot of that goes with just the way the team is built. I think this team is going to be better with ball security. It's something that we've struggled with the last 2 years, and it's something that we've got to get addressed. When you look at, you know, where we offensively struggled and where we're rating, where we can get better, those are the two glaring issues. You know, we've been a good offensive rebounding team, but that's because we haven't shot the ball well. We better be a good offensive rebounding. We've had more opportunities because we haven't made shots. The third thing would be the free throw shooting, right? And we've been one of the top teams in the country the last 2 years of getting to the free throw line. A lot of that's because we haven't been able to make outside shots. But We've been relentless of getting the ball to the rim and fouling, but we haven't been the best at, obviously, producing from the free throw line. So those are the three areas in recruiting that we really looked at. The fourth would be having multiple guys on the floor that we could give the ball to late in games to go make a play, you know, and not just being so predicted or not knowing where we were going to go. You know, and I think now with this team, I think now we have Corey coming back, you have David coming back, you have Otis coming back. You look at adding Bynum and Barnes, who are two guys that played that role for their team. And obviously KJ played that role, although be it at a high school level, right? Those three guys coming in aren't afraid to have their ball in the hand late in games to either make the play or create offense for their teammate, right? And so I do feel that we've made strides on that offensively through recruiting. I'm excited about that. You know, that portal is crazy. It's overwhelming at times. We have a software company that we bought that helps that tons of people across college athletics are using it, helps you keep organized it. But we pinpointed those two guys really early. You know, we recruited buying them all year long. We tried to sign him in the fall. We couldn't get it done, kind of behind the scenes. And then we stayed with him all year and were able to get it done. And where I'm excited about that, too, is the Chicago pipeline. I love UTEP and the Chicago history that we have, but we've kind of opened that pipeline back up, but we were able to get that done. And then obviously when Barnes went in, that was somebody. Barnes has a connection to UTEP. I don't know if I think you and Steve talked to him about it on the radio. I didn't listen to it, but you know, he grew up here in elementary school. His dad's a military guy. He was at the UTEP Memphis game that nobody around here wants to talk about.
Right.
With Will being his cousin. But UTEP means something to him. And he wanted to come here the year before. And we actually took, you know, we went a different direction with Zid. And he went to Triton. He was at Triton. He went to Tarleton and obviously had a great year. You know, look at, he's won everywhere he's been. And last year, Tarleton was picked 8th or 9th or 10th. And obviously had a ton of adversity with Coach Gillespie stepping away and an interim coach stepping in, and they tied Grand Canyon for the league championship, you know, and so he's just won. He's a winner. He's won. So to bring him back and then UTEP again means something to him. Those are the two guys we went after. I'm going to hold, I'll get Barnes this summer when he gets here. He made me sweat it out way too long. It's just, we pinpointed those two. We knew those two were the ones we want. We knew they fit the pieces that we had and would fit what we had moving forward. And so a lot of times when recruiting, you want guys, you don't necessarily get the guy, you know, you have to go to plan B, C sometimes. And to get the two guys that we went after, you know, I think it's a credit to our staff and it's a credit to our guys here. It gets tricky too, man. Like, you know, because you got nine guys, you know, we did lose in tape, but you got nine guys coming back, and these guys coming back are going to have bigger roles. And how do you add these pieces? And guys will be part of, that's part of the putting together the piece of the puzzle. And then obviously the collective and the money piece. And so there's a lot that goes into it. But to get the two guys that we wanted, I'm excited about it. And we still have a scholarship left. And so, you know, we're being patient with that. Obviously, we'd like a 4-5 somewhere kind of in there, you know, a guy that could, you know, a 4, a defensive rebounding type 4. We feel like we have Elijah and Otis there. But if we could get somebody that could maybe go both ways, or maybe a 3-4 kind of somewhere in there, you know, it's kind of what we're looking. But we want something with a little bit of size. And so, you know, we're navigating that right now, but we're in a good spot.
Nice. Yeah. Now, when it comes to the breakdown and the philosophy, we asked a question to Devin Barnes, and I love the way he handled it, just about ball handling in the point guard position, knowing that, you know, freshman of the year coming back is David Terrell Jr., and he also plays a point guard role. You've always had kind of a staggered role. Yeah,
like, and that's what we recruited him on, you know? Like, it's I think I was a point guard, so I see the game from a point. My better teams have been when you have multiple guys out there that think like a point guard, and I think that's what excites us about David Terrell playing that spot. That he'll play with Barnes, right? They're going to play together. You'll have David Terrell with Barnes, with Corey Camper. Really, all three of those guys kind of have somewhat of a point guard mentality, you know? And so, again, that's why I say our dynamic, I think, is going to change offensively. You're going to have multiple guys on the floor that think like a point guard, that can pass, that can move the basketball. Our team just wasn't built like that last year, you know. We needed better ball movement at times. We were trying to get better ball movement, but it was just the way that, you know, Tay sometimes, you know, it just took him sometimes to get a spot. I love Tay, you know, but this is Zid. It was just the way our team was built. And this year's team will be built differently, and I think our ball movement will be better. But, yeah, I mean, it ain't Barnes versus David Terrell for the point guard position. Those guys are going to play together. You know, again, it goes back to the ball security thing we talked about, you know, having multiple guys on the floor that know how to play, that can create plays for others and make the right simple play and then be able to knock down those shots. That's good offense. That's good basketball. And I think, again, we've fixed that in recruiting, and I'm excited to watch those guys play together.
Okay, three final questions. Yep. Goals for the offseason, just the top.
Yeah, we're obviously trying to fix our, you know, we got some staff things, so we're, you know, working around that, and we're happy for Coach Cox. I'm thrilled for him. What a great opportunity for him to go back and work for a guy that was his former assistant, and Coach Cox did a terrific job for us here, but we're excited about the future and who we can bring in that spot. So filling out the staff, we just got our players out of here. Our players will get back on June 21st, so they got a little bit of a break here, almost a month break here. There'll be some guys coming in and out throughout this month. There's some guys that didn't go home that are staying here, and so we'll work through that. And then we got to have a good summer. You know, we got to keep the chip on our shoulder, and we got to get better. I'll motivate him with the last 10 minutes and 33 seconds of the Western game, and we'll motivate him with the non-conference, the conference record of 7-9. But we got to have a good summer, right? We got to get those four new guys adjusted to these nine guys that we have coming back. We're going to spend a ton of time just behind the scenes on offense. You know, this summer will be a huge, which is different for me.
Yeah.
And so don't come in here and have a heart attack when you come to practice. But we're going to spend a ton of time on offense and try to make sure that we're moving in the right direction in that and get our team figured out of what we want to be. We will stick to the four guards that we've played here lately. I'm not going back. We're going to continue to play, four guards, and I liked coaching it. I've had to study it and learn a bunch because it's out of my box. We've always been a high-low team, but just the way it's going, and it's our guys enjoy playing in it. I think it fits our personnel, and you get your best players on the floor. So we'll continue to do that. And so I think that will be important this summer. I think that's the first objective. We're obviously taking a foreign trip for the first time in a long time. We're going to go to the Bahamas. So that will be a great experience for our guys to spend 6 or 7 days together, team bonding, and be able to play 2 or 3 games in the Bahamas. So we'll kind of have a head start to the season. So I think it's a great time to reward those guys that came back and then get those four guys implemented. The second thing right now is the scheduling piece, wrapping up scheduling. Right now we have 2 games left to get. We're still looking on our guarantee game. Going and playing a Power 5 somewhere, we have to. We're still looking for that game. And then we're trying to start a home-and-home series, so another home-and-home series. So still working and trying to finalize that. We obviously have to go to Santa Barbara this year. We will have Lola Marymount back here. We're going to Vegas over Thanksgiving to play in a big tournament in Vegas, which I think will be with some really good teams. I think it will be a really, really good tournament. Probably too good of teams, but that's all right. You know, when you have a team back, we want to be challenged early, and so I'm excited about that MT. So that will be over Thanksgiving, but that's kind of the scheduling piece. We're still trying to wrap up those 2 games. Besides that, man, I think it's just, happy that we have the guys back. We got to have a great summer. Got to get off to a good start, in the fall with these guys, getting these four guys acclimated, but excited to where we're at. And just got to keep the ball moving. Got to keep developing these guys. Got to keep improving. Got to keep getting better. But I think definitely it's heading in the right direction.
I've got family in Santa Barbara, so I'll probably join you guys.
I've heard it's beautiful there. I've never been there, but I've heard it's pretty. And obviously Pasternak does a great job. And last year, it's crazy, man. Scheduling is so hard. Football, I don't know if people, I think you and I have talked about this a little bit, but football does it like 10, 12 years.
We already know UTEP, who they're playing in 2030.
Right. Basketball, we're the weirdest sport. We literally, we're still scheduling sometimes in August,
Jeez.
And now everybody waits for the portal to see who you're signing in the portal or what you got going in the portal. And then I'll be, really transparent. Nobody wants to come to UTEP, And then the days of getting powerful, listen, man, I would love to play Texas Tech here. I would love to play Texas here. I would love to play Beard, Ole Miss come here and play us. I would love to have USC play us. I would love to have Arizona come down here. Maybe if KJ plays there long enough that Arizona will come back here and reward KJ with a game in El Paso. But that's the only way it's going to happen, man. Power 5s aren't coming, on the road. Those days are just – over. They're going to buy 10 home games. They're going to go to their little exempt deal, and they might play one game at Madison Square Garden or what, you know, on the West Coast at T-Mobile in Vegas in a highlight game. You see in the MTE, they're starting. I'm sure you've read up on that, where it's like the $1 million NIL.
Yeah.
Well, that stuff, you know, but the high majors aren't coming on our campus anymore. It's the problem we've had with the Sun Bowl, you know, tournament. And I know our fans, just like any mid-major fan, you get frustrated because why do we always have to? But that's just the way it is. You know, the history, it used to be great, you know, but we can't get Georgetown to come to the Sun Bowl anymore either. You know, it's just not happening. Those days are gone. And so, you know, we try to get the best games we can get for non-conference, but we also have to navigate it and make it fair to us that we're not just on the road all the time, playing eight games on the road. I mean, like, okay, let's go play five or six Power Fives, but all those are going to be on the road, you know? And so you're putting your team in a tough, tough spot. So scheduling is difficult at this level. It's tough. Austin Cox does a great job of navigating it for us. But, you know, I just, trust me, I would love to, you know, I mean, any Power 5 out there that wants to come to Alpine, come on, man. I would love it. Or anybody that can get a Power 5 to come down here, get to work on it, man, more power to you. But those days are just, you know, they're not around anymore. And so we try to get it as competitive as we can.
Well, but the MTE in Thanksgiving and a late July, yeah, like,
I
mean, that's huge.
I think this will
be like the best.
And I think our schedule, you know, it's not finalized yet, but I think this will be the toughest. The Vegas deal is not done yet, but I think your guys will be real excited about, you know, our fans will be, of who's going to be in that Vegas exempt tournament. We're going to get challenged on all three games there. Loyola Marymount here, West Coast Conference, UC Santa Barbara, one of the best, you know, obviously mid majors in the deal. We're going to start another home and home. You got the two Sun Bowl games, which are obviously difficult and tough. And then you got the guarantee game. So, you know, it's going to be a tough, you know, it's a tough, it may be the toughest one we've played to this point, but that's okay. We got nine guys back. We need to get challenged and we got to get better too, you know, and set ourselves up for conference play.
Okay, two more questions. Yep. We had a listener call us and say that he saw you at Academy with a kayak and a bunch of paddling gear. And he said that you told him that we've got to row in the right direction. Is this true? Yeah. I felt like this was just a lie. There's no way this
is true. I know the guy you're talking about. I don't remember his name. I'm terrible with names. But he did see me in line. And so I had I did not buy a kayak, but I had oars. And so I went and bought four oars, and it just, again, just getting creative, Adrian, and trying to find ways to motivate your team. It didn't work.
Everybody loved the story.
The comeback story was better than the boat. But I do think our guys caught on to row the boat. And that's the neat thing about we call every season a journey. And through the journey, man, there's always moments, there's times. And sometimes you collect things from different places you go to, whether it's a big road win and you get a, you know, something from a road win. You find, I remember we beat Liberty. We went and bought milkshakes. Trey knows the spot. It's a big East Coast spot, but you know, whether you're collecting things or whether you're trying to motivate your team, right? And guys are motivated different. And my deal to them was, you know, after the, whatever point in time that was during the season, but we just weren't all rowing the boat in the same direction. And I think that's college athletics today, right? You have so many people with different agendas. You know, I mean, you got people in February playing, knowing they're already going in the portal. And how do you – you got so much stuff going on. Well, and the boat wasn't rowing. And so it was, I think, early January or mid-January, somewhere in there. But – you know, I brought four paddles and said, hey, you four grab a paddle and you row to the left, you row to the right, you go circles and you do whatever the hell you want. And you can see where the kayak is just going to go in a circle. We ain't going anywhere, you know. But if all four of you guys will row in the same direction, the boat will move forward. And we lined up and we left, right, and we rowed the boat. And you know, our guys caught on to it, you know, and those four seniors, they got to keep the paddles and they still have them, and we all signed them after the year. And but again, yeah, just trying to get creative and trying to find a different way that you can get these guys, you know, in today's era, moving in the same direction for the same common goal, right? And that's to win basketball games.
You know, I really like the way that you talked about the fan. This is the last question, yep. The fan base, about, you know, right at the end of the season, especially, you know, when after the Conference USA Championship game. But after the Sam Houston State game, the calls were insane. Everybody, you united the beast of UTEP basketball, and that's what you said. That you, those were the words. Yeah. And it's been. You also said how the program has been splintered over the past, and so now the fact that it was all united, all excited.
Yeah.
That's probably the way that you kind of leave last year's season, and also being motivated for the next season.
Yeah, no question, man. And you know, I've felt it. Day one here, when I got the job, I felt the energy here. I could just feel like there was just two different, it's just, as I navigated, now I'm 3 years in, you know, there's just a, listen, Adrian, there's going to be fans that are always negative, right? You got these guys that it's just
what they deal with. Yeah.
Yeah. It's your show, right? You like those guys. They keep the show going. but you know what I mean? You got the, then you got, you know, you got some guys that go back and forth, and then you got some guys that are obviously you know, I mean, it's the same, but I love our fan base, man. At the end of the day, man, they care, right? They care. And that's why I took this job, man, is they care about, they care about UTEP basketball. They care about winning. We have a rich history and tradition, but the game has changed, right? And we're trying to figure this out as we navigate. The last two or three years has been wild in college athletics, and that's where I'm saying I think we have survived it. You know, trust me, I'd have loved to have been 14-2 in conference play last year, but it wasn't meant to be, right? But we made the run. We got people excited. And I thought for the first time since I've been here, you know, and I don't know for how long you've been here, a lot longer with you and Steve, but like, we were all on the same page, you know, and be it 2 days, I don't know if we were all on the same page before the Liberty game, but after Liberty, I think, you know, this town, this fan base, we all united on it, you know, on UTEP basketball. And it was fun. It was fun to see UTEP basketball back in the national conversation, man, because it's been too long, you know, that's where it belongs, and we've got to do a good job of now. That's the hard part, right? Now we got there, and you gotta build, right? We gotta keep building. We gotta maintain that. We gotta build it. We gotta get better, and we gotta keep competing because everybody's starting to figure it out a little bit now at our level, and we got to keep moving forward, and so that's what I'm excited about. But I love our fans. You know, I don't listen to. I learned. I remember a long time ago, our AC fans weren't like this, but we didn't have talk shows and rabid fan. But that's why I took this job too. You know, because people care. You know, and so it doesn't bother me. I do think it bothers our. I'm sure our players. You know, they live on that phone. They're going to see it. That's just as much as I tell them to throw that phone away. They just can't do it. That's just their life now. My 18-year-old son and 14-year-old son are the same way. They're on that phone all the time. But so you have to navigate. You have to navigate that, and you gotta make sure you know your guys are staying on track with it. But listen, man, I love our fan base. We have the best fans in Conference USA. They've supported me 100%. They've supported our guys. I don't get caught up in what 3 or 4 or 5. You know what I mean? Like I think our real fans know where this thing's headed. I think our real fans know of having a team back. I think we're in a stable position, and I think next year we're gonna have a really really fun year. Exciting year, and hopefully we can carry the momentum of last year on to next year.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate you doing this.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. Good seeing you, man.
That's UTEP head coach Joe Golding here on the Minor Talk podcast. Again, want to give another shout out to the Oscarati at the Agency before we get out to David Terrell Jr. and Otis Frazier III. The Oscarati at the Agency, you could check them out on Instagram, Oscarati at the Agency on Instagram and Facebook. They post a lot of great content, like helpful tips and information when it comes to auto insurance, home insurance. They also help out when it comes to your life insurance. And even if you own a business out there, check out the Oscarati at the Agency for their commercial business options as well. That is Oscar Arieta Agency. All right, now out to David Terrell Jr. and Otis Frazier III.
All right, we're back here on the Minor Talk podcast along with David Terrell Jr. and Otis Frazier III. What's up, guys? How's it going?
It's good. Doing good. Doing good.
So we talked a lot about, you know, last season, but we didn't get to see you guys kind of when it all wrapped up. And, you know, the purpose of this is you guys are about to head out for summer break, and this is a good opportunity to just kind of recap this past athletic year, you know, and just to reflect on the run, like the historic run. I mean, this doesn't happen every day where UTEP goes this far into the Conference USA tournament and where they have this kind of success. So I was trying to look at the turning point. Was it the Jacksonville State win on the road? Do you kind of feel like that's where it flipped for you guys, or did you guys need to kind of hit the adversity, you know, in order to get to that point? I mean, I don't know who would want to answer this one first.
I'll take it. I think we dealt with adversity all season. You know, obviously,
the struggles, away games, tough losses here and there. I think the Jacksonville State game could obviously be emphasized as one of the games where it was a turning point for the team. I think they went on like a 5-0 streak after that. I think it was a great run at the end of the season, which is usually when you want to be playing your best basketball, which is in March.
Do you guys feel like you needed to hit that kind of brick wall? I mean, it was like a 4-game losing streak and then the back-to-back at home. You guys kind of feel like you need to hit that point in order to go on that kind of run? Or did it to kind of build you stronger at that point?
Yeah, I feel like every team really needs to hit that certain point. You can never be too high, never be too low. So I feel like those 4 games in a row just made us more hungry to just provide a winning season and winning the rest of the games, just do what we need to do on the court.
So you talk about the win at home against Liberty, like that. You guys come back home, you beat Jacksonville State on the road, and then you come back home, and then it's Liberty at home. The Florida International game you handled, but then the first half of that Liberty game, it was just all smiles. Like, it was like you guys were also handling Liberty at home, and you also had not only a victory, it was a pretty dominating victory that last game at home, and it was a lot of smiles and a lot of excitement around that. Was that feeling right there, just the feeling like, oh, we could do this? Like, oh, this is not just a one-off. Like, we can actually go on a hot streak and beat some of these better teams in this conference.
I think we had that, you know, the joy, the smiles. We talk about joy a lot, Coach Golden, from the beginning of the season. I mean, obviously, every team goes through adversity. But we've known, like, from the beginning that we're a good team. We just have to come together. And I think at the end of the season, we started to see that, and it progressed. And when we got that one road game, it kind of like proved everything, especially at Liberty.
David, do you kind of feel like Otis, like, he could break the NCAA single game record for steals in that game at Jacksonville State? I mean, he had like 7 steals right away. It was crazy. He was all over the place defensively. What does he bring defensively, just for you guys?
Just really on the defense side, just really like leadership. Like, he's just always, he's the main one you hear on the court. He's always talking, you know, moving his feet. Really setting an example for, you know, some of the younger people on the team. So defensive-wise, we definitely look up to him a lot because, you know, he's getting the stops, he's talking. So it's definitely a key factor in why we win games.
So then the CUSA tournament hits. I think this needs to be said. Like, we need to hammer this home. Like, you know, you guys take away yourselves from this team. Anybody against Joe Golding in a one-game winner-take-all, you don't want to face Joe Golding in a one-game winner-take-all or winner-go-home type of series. And I think that's what this program has turned into, like the team that you're afraid to play in a single elimination game. Could that be said around you guys?
I think that just comes with the toughness that Joe is, you know, his teams are. If you look at the ACU teams and how they play and how we play, I think it's just closer with us. We're a tough team to play. We're always going to play hard no matter the score, from behind or in front. I think it just comes with who he is as a person and what he brings to the culture as a team.
How different is the preparation, though?
As far as what?
Like, maybe that first game. You know, it's that first game in the tournament. He always talks about it. Like, you got to win the first game. How much preparation goes into that one compared to everything else you all see?
Well, I thought we liked where we were at in the whole tournament. We liked the teams that we had faced. Liberty, we had obviously beat them. We had just beat them. Sam Houston had beat us twice, but we thought that were 2 winnable games away and home. I felt like once we got to Sam Houston and we got that win, we definitely felt like, okay, we're here. And that was already in the championship game, so I felt like it was, you know, we just kind of knew that where we were at the time being.
Do you feel, I'll bring you in on this, David, because, I mean, this is your first time around, but do you feel like the intensity was heightened when you guys were at the CUSA tournament? It's a lot of new. I mean, even though Otis comes back on the team this past year, it's in Huntsville, Alabama. It's basically a home game for certain schools across Conference USA. I mean, how crazy was that?
It was definitely crazy. You know, the championship game, as y'all can see, the whole crowd was red. So it was definitely a home game for them, but... You know, Coach Golden always talked about adversity. He loved those type of games. He prepared us for those type of games. And it was all around fun to play in that game.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I think about, all right, so the Liberty game, you guys win the first round game. The Sam Houston State game is during the day here back in El Paso. And everybody is like, you know, it felt like no one worked that day. No one went to school that day. Everybody just watched the game, even though maybe they didn't make those initial plans because at halftime they saw the score, close game, went wire to wire. Have you guys ever experienced anything like that where after the game you had X amount of people just reaching out to you and going blowing up your phone and stuff like that? Did that ever happen to you before?
No, honestly, I think it was kind of crazy. Like you talked about, like we had an up and down season, but when we got to the tournament, you know, we got the two first wins. We felt the support of the community in El Paso and everybody. We see social media and all that stuff. So it was definitely like crazy to see. I definitely didn't expect any of it.
David, there were watch parties and stuff like that here. Like that stuff was pretty cool to see, right?
Yeah, it was definitely pretty cool to see. You know, of course, it's my first time, you know, getting support from fans like that for real. So just seeing how the community got behind us is just more motivation and encouragement for us to go out there, do what we need to do on the court next year so we can get that, you know, early in the season. We ain't got to go through them ups and downs. We can just have a smooth season all around.
It's kind of crazy to think, like, I mean, look, you just talked about it, Otis. You guys had a lot of adversity all season long. But I remember when Coach Golding was talking after tough losses, like, I hope this team reaps the benefit of what they've worked on, like reaps their rewards on what they've worked on. Do you kind of feel like the title run was kind of that vindication for you guys and kind of validated all that hard work you put in?
Honestly, I think it validated it a little bit, but, you know, we came up short in the end, obviously. I think that's why so many guys decided to stay this year and not go in the transfer portal and do all that stuff because, yeah, we made it to the championship game, but we have bigger goals, obviously, than just to make it there. We did work all season, and we got to where we needed to, but a little more push and we'll be where we need to be.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, I mean, you don't see this in college basketball. You don't see, like, a whole team stick around like this where no one hits the transfer portal. I mean, that's what it might take to actually break through and go off and make a crazy run and win the CUSA title to make an NCAA tournament run. The continuity and just the belief in the culture and the program. I mean, is it interesting to see this where you see all across college basketball, it's the good teams, the bad teams, they lose their players. They have turnover. But here at UTEP, there is no turnover, at least this year.
I think we had a bunch of guys that could have left, like even David, freshman of the year, he had all types of accolades. We have a bunch of guys that could have left and did their thing, but we have trust in each other. We're a solid group. We do everything together, and we're hungry. We were in the championship game, and we felt it. We've seen it. We've seen how the community got behind us, and we want to win. We want to put our names in UTEP history. I think that's where all the guys stand as far as everyone who came back.
I feel like you have the same mentality, David, because you have you're probably one of the most competitive guys like Otis on this team. You have that fire too. You don't feel satisfied from last year. You kind of feel the drive to come back this next upcoming season.
No doubt, we was always looking towards the next page. You know, we can never look back into the past and say, "Oh, we made it to the conference tournament." We never want to be comfortable. So, you know, Coach Golden keeps us on there. Never be too high, never be too low. So I feel like going into next season will just be as hungry as we was last season.
So take us through the conference title. Like, what's it like playing in a conference title game like this? Because the Western Kentucky game hits, and the whole city shuts down. It's watch parties everywhere. It's everybody, you know, this is a basketball town. Like, people care so much about UTEP basketball. So when you start to realize how big this game is, and you go out there and you see the whole stands filled with red, what's it like playing in that kind of, like, win, go to the NCAA tournament, change your life kind of atmosphere?
I think Coach Golden talked about it the night before. We knew it was going to be a road game for us regardless of the situation. I don't think it started to hit us until we got on the bus to go to the gym, like where we were at. Like, even me, I was like, oh, like one more game, we're about to the NCAA tournament. And we got there, and it was completely red everywhere, full round circle around the whole arena. But we wouldn't want it any other way. You know, we've struggled on the road, so getting a win like that would have been big for us. But we had them, I think, and obviously it just came up a little short.
Yeah, I mean, you're 7 minutes away from winning. And there were so many points that game, David, where I was like, this is going to happen. I got to check out flights right now to Dayton, Ohio, or, you know, wherever we're going here for the first round.
Yeah, so just during the whole tournament, you know, with the comeback wins of the previous two games, I never felt like in a game, really the whole season, where we were just out of it. Like, I've always felt that we were a team that was going to persevere through anything, through any struggles that we were going through the game, and I always had that faith in us. So it was never a point in any point of the season where I was like, we were just totally out of it.
I want to ask you both about specific guys. You just tell me the first thing that comes to mind of the development, because, I mean, for a guy like Corey Camper Jr. to come onto the scene and adjust to the, from junior college level to the D1 level and do what he did toward the end of the season, I mean, are you how excited are you for his future and knowing that you guys have him coming back as well?
Corey's a great player. He's obviously not a junior college player, as we know. I think Corey is one of those guys that could have left too when I majored. A great scorer, defender. He has a lot of skills that help us out a lot. I personally think he's one of the best scorers we have on this team. So he's very important to us. We know how important he is to the team. And like I said, we're all very close, so we know how it is.
Anything to add there?
Just to piggyback off what he said, Corey, he brings a lot to us. Scoring-wise, you know, he can put it in the basket any time you want. But I feel like he's... Over the course of the season, he got better at defense. I feel like he was underrated defensively, and I feel like he helped us a lot. So I'm excited to see what he can do for us next year.
I used the word fearlessness to describe you a lot, David, but Trey, for stepping in late in the season and knocking down shots, I mean, that's pretty fearless right there, too.
Yeah, that's definitely fearless. You know, Trey had his ups and downs during the seasons, as all freshmen do. Coach Golden talked about us plenty of times. He brought us in for meetings and stuff. So for him to overcome that and help us in big moments, especially during the tournament, it was good to see for sure.
I mean, when you see fearlessness like this, Otis, like from underclassmen, like David, like Trey, even Elijah, when he's stepping in and getting his opportunities, I mean, it tells you a lot. And I'm not trying to dispel one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, the recruiting here is, I mean, look at what you're finding out of the recruitments that's come here and the prospects that have come here at UTEP. They develop into solid players here in college basketball. You're a prime example of that. And then now you're not only seeing it with you in your development, but you also see it with the underclassmen too.
I think it's just, you know, the culture and the guys that Coach Golden's brought in. You know, when I came in, the program wasn't really at where Coach Golden wanted it to be at. He didn't really have his team, the guys he wanted in there. But when you see the guys he surrounded everyone with, you know, like, David doesn't just look at me as like a leader. Like, I see David, like David talks to me, it's the same way. Progression as far as like, I think it's just easier for the younger guys. So they see us doing it every day. We've been here, you know, and it'll be the same for the guys that are coming in next year for David and all those guys. So when you talked about Trey coming in, being prepared, stuff like that, I mean, he's been doing it all year. Like you said, freshman, you go through it. Like, I've had talks with him, you know, I was the same way freshman year. Like, you just have to go through it, fight through it, and just play fearless, like you say. And that's what he did all year.
Do you feel like, all right, so now Derek Hamilton's the interesting one, too, because he's kind of like the wild card. He's the one where he had struggles, like bad adversity throughout the season, yet he perseveres, too. I mean, how, inspiring is that right there? A guy where, I mean, a lot of people wrote off and maybe thought he wouldn't contribute as the season winded down. Then he steps in the Conference USA tournament. We all saw what he did. I mean, he became an instant fan favorite for what he did, you know, in the conference tournament.
I feel like it was definitely inspiring to see how Derek came in and helped us, not only in the conference tournament towards the end of the season. You know, anytime he comes in, he's an instant offense. People have to help off him. So anytime he's on the court, he's making a big difference regardless of what he's doing. So I feel like it's going to be a great season for him next year for sure.
All right, I need scouting reports on each other because you guys were the heavy contributors and you're basically going to be the faces of the program moving forward. And, I mean, that's a lot of responsibility and a lot of excitement that comes with it, right? Because, I mean, you both want to be here and stuff like that. But, David, tell me a little bit about Otis. Like, what does he bring to the table? What are his strengths? If you had to scout him, if you were an NBA G League scout or an NBA combine scout, what would you say about Otis Frazier III? He's dying over here. He doesn't like to be talked about.
I feel like the first thing you got to say about Otis is his motor. It's just a relentless motor. It's, you know, all over the season. I don't remember the game, but one day he just had a crazy stat line, a triple-double actually, and it was just crazy to see that. Never experienced a teammate have a game like that, and it was consistent with him. So I feel like he's one of the most consistent players that we have, one of the most it's just stuff you can't teach, really. Like, he always going to the offensive glass, providing sparks that we need, keeping us motivated. So Otis just all around a great player, and I'm glad to have him as a teammate.
Okay. Man, it's going to be hard to follow up there, Otis. Jeez. But he's got some accolades that you can talk about, too.
That's facts. That is facts. Like you said, freshman of the year, relentless attacker to the rim, very high IQ player for where he's at as far as college career. I think he's a great vocal leader. You know, being so young, I wasn't able to talk the way he was able to talk. Even now, I think he talks probably more than I do. I think he's an underrated defender for sure. Like some games when I was in foul trouble, he was next guy up on their best player. That's not really a thing for freshmen most of the time. I think DT obviously doesn't get talked about as much as I think he probably should. He's a big factor of this team. I think he's going to have a great year this year.
Oh, I feel like that fits both of you guys, right? You kind of chip on your shoulder, a little underrepresented under the radar at times, but probably undervalued too, but comes through at any given point. I think the fans also appreciated that of both of you guys. Like, despite the challenges, despite the adversity where the fans wanted more, they latched toward you two, and they really saw you guys as one of their favorites, or two of their favorites, I should say. It was cool to get that response from the city of El Paso, you know, when it was all said and done. Like, did you kind of feel that support from them?
I definitely felt the support. It was definitely appreciated, you know, through all the, you know, the teams have their ups and downs, so, you know, it's always going to be that talk of the town every time, but, you know, we just stay down, stay consistent in what we do, just stay true to us, who we are, and I feel like it worked out well for us, so I feel like the support from the city was really great, and I feel like it's going to be way better next year, what we got bringing to the table.
Otis, you feel it too? You feel that love? Or, I mean, how can they continue to give that love too? Because there's friction points, right? And there's times where the fans want more and stuff like that. So what's the balance?
Honestly, you know, anyone that lives in El Paso, like you said, basketball town, you know, Glory Road, Don Haskins, everybody. So, you know, we get it. Like, you know, we have our struggles. Obviously, the city's going to, you know, be affected. But when we're winning, they're behind us. But we have a lot of loyal fans that are also there when we are losing. I mean, we feel the love both ways. Like you talked about in the tournament run, literally felt like nobody was at work for, like, everyone was watching our games. Like, that's kind of like all everyone was talking about. But like I said, it's the love can kind of go both ways, but, you know, it's definitely there. And I think that's the best thing about El Paso. And that's why we want to win so much, because it's like we want to give that to the community and to us as well.
Yeah, definitely. All right, I'll do five quick questions for you guys. These are more fun questions, and then we will, and then we'll wrap it up. We'll talk about it next year. Okay, so Drake versus Kendrick beef, guys. Where are you on?
Drake.
Wow, there was no question. We might have to have a conversation. Damn, man.
I feel like Kendrick up right now, personally. I like Drake more as an artist, but I definitely feel like Kendrick is up right now.
Wow. So, I think we need some elaboration there, Otis. Come on, man.
It's not elaboration. It's just, you know. Maybe I haven't been paying attention too much.
Yeah, you know.
like I said, OVO sound. Kendrick it is.
Wow. And David, anything to defend Kendrick?
It's just Kendrick different. Kendrick pen different, man. Kendrick pen way different. I don't feel like Drake really responding to these allegations like he's supposed to be responding to them. So, you know, we're just going to keep it at that.
Oh, man. All right. Playoffs, NBA playoffs. How much you guys watching? Are you guys fans and stuff? Who's winning this all?
Timberwolves.
Okay. Otis says Timberwolves.
I don't know. I feel like I like the way the Timberwolves do play, though. You know, I feel like that's the only team in the NBA that's like interesting to watch right now because they're guarded. You know, they got people 94 feet picking up. That's how I like to play. So it's fun to watch them type of teams play in the league.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like the Knicks too. They've been playing a lot that way.
Jalen Brunson's been playing good. I like Jalen Brunson a lot.
Yeah, it might be Boston's year though, guys. We might be clearing path for them. I hope not. I'm not. I'm definitely rooting for Minnesota or something like that. I'm a LeBron guy, so that's where I'm at. All right. Let's see. Adjusting Adidas, guys. I'm sure you guys were Nike shoe wearers your whole lives. How is it adjusting to Adidas here, basketball wise?
Well, I like the Adidas. You know, I brought out my pink ones.
I saw that.
Yeah, I like them pink ones. I got some more coming on the way.
Okay.
I like them hardness.
Okay.
I mean, I've been Adidas my whole life.
Really?
I'm the opposite way. Like, I played on the Adidas gauntlet. My first college was Adidas. So I'm very used to the whole Adidas.
Okay, cool. Nice. This is no difference for you.
Yeah.
All right, easy. All right, speaking of Adidas, best uniforms you guys liked from this team?
Uniforms? What was that one that we wore on the...
You like the Texas Western ones?
I do like the Texas Western ones. But it was the one y'all popped that on.
Los Mineros?
Nah.
Are you talking about the Digi shoot. Camo? The blue Digi ones?
I had the photo shoot. You're talking about the old joints. Yeah, with the white and the baby blue.
Oh, yes, yeah, yes.
That was crazy. I like them
yes.
most.
All right, that's the 80s throwback one.
Those
yep.
the craziest ones. I like them.
Those ones are pretty fire.
Which one for you, Otis?
I probably had to agree with DT. I like to enjoy, probably enjoy those the most.
Okay. Best three-point shot of the year for both of you guys. Like, the shot that when you hit that three, it just felt – because now it's about threes. It's not necessarily about the dunks. I think I know which ones, but let's hear it.
Mine was New Mexico State. That was my first three-pointer.
I love it. I love it.
It was my first shot in a hostile environment, and it went in. I just got comfortable at that point.
Was it awesome to silence the crowd like that?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was. It boosted my confidence going into halftime, and I feel like that was a fun game to play.
Okay. Otis? There was a bunch for you, exactly. In a good way.
I don't know.
Can we say maybe the Jacksonville State game, maybe even the Middle Tennessee game, the double overtime game? You had a pretty cold three in that one.
I don't even remember that.
It's getting old, dog.
I don't know. Probably Jacksonville State game, probably.
Okay.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Toughest guy to defend this past year? The guy that you guys went up against, you were like, man, this guy is so tough.
I don't remember his name. I just know he went to Seattle U. Oh, my goodness. I don't remember his name. Seattle. That game. Yeah, he was getting off. I ain't gonna lie. That was probably the toughest guy.
Okay. I like it. McHenry? For you, Otis?
I didn't really get that matchup the way I wanted to, but I'm going to keep that on the... I ain't going to say nothing about that. But, I don't know. I don't really feel like I have a problem.
What about Crawford? What about Crawford from La Tech? Nah?
Nah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna do
this. Hey, this is all CUSA defense right here.
Right.
He's all right. He's all right. He doesn't need to answer this question. All right, let's ask this one. What do we need to anticipate for 2024, guys? As we wind this up, I appreciate the time, guys. So thanks for doing this. 2024 to let the fans know about what you guys want to bring in, what you have in store. What should fans know about you guys this upcoming season?
Just to know we're taking another step in the right direction. We're not looking. And last year, we on a whole another season. You know, we hungry as ever. We want to win, you know, like he said, for the community. And I feel like it's going to be fun. Like, the depth we're going to have with the recruits coming in, with what we got coming back, I just feel like it's going to be a crazy season for us. So it's fun. It's fun.
Anything you had? Your final season, Otis, in college basketball. Wow. That's crazy to think. Wow. Last ride.
That's right. It's the best ride, right?
That's right. Ready for the best ride.
Yep. Save the best for last. That's all I'll say.
Excellent. Excellent. I appreciate it, you guys. Thanks for doing this.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening to our Minor Talk podcast presented by the Oscar Arrieta Agency. We'll be having more for UTEP men's basketball throughout the offseason and football in anticipation for the kickoff on August 31st. As always, the Oscar Arrieta Agency helps us out when it comes to the referral program. They're great prizes with Chihuahuas baseball tickets. Check them out, OscarArriettaAgency.com. Click the referral button and maybe you can get a chance to go out and watch some Chihuahuas baseball here this season. Thanks again to everybody joining us here on the Minor Talk podcast right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.